Welcome, diehard D&D fans and friends, to D&D in Big D, where we put the D in D&D. We're a group of seasoned folks who play through published adventures and review them in a post-mortem. Stay tuned, as we'll also be inviting special guest PCs from other podcasts, content creators, and many other nerd celebrities out there. Hello, this is Thok, your half-orc druid Zima beer brewer. In this one-shot adventure, we will be playing through our first ever Christmas special. It's Holiday Fest in the Realm, and Dungeon Meister Paul takes Kitty, Jake, Lenny, and Alex on a good old-fashioned adventure filled with holiday cheer and merry festivities in Tamanaka Tower, hosted by their longtime friend Baron Tagami. What could possibly go wrong? Now grab your hot cocoa, put on your ugly dungeoning sweater, take off your shoes and socks as you listen to the Holiday Fest at Tamanaka Tower, a D&D diehard one-shot adventure.
Hello.
Hello.
Good evening.
Yeah. All right, we're all here.
Are we?
Are we?
There is a butch here.
There is a butch here.
There butch. Is. There is a butch.
Ah, there he is.
Okay. Oh, I think I figured out my new moniker now.
Tell us, Dungeon Master.
I was just about to say, tell us, dude.
Thank you, Kitty.
Meister.
Hell yeah. Okay, so is everybody ready?
Yep.
Yeah. Ready as I'll ever be.
I think we're ready, yeah.
Okay, so we are in a realm of some kind out on the west coast of some far-off land, and all of you are invited by Baron Tagami to celebrate the Holiday Fest at his new, well, not necessarily new, but currently being revamped tower. You helped the Baron clear the realm of several monsters and criminal guilds, and now he wants to show his gratitude by inviting y'all as honored guests to Tominaka Tower.
This is a Christmas special.
This is a Christmas special. So I need everyone to roll me a D8 right now.
That would be a 6.
8.
12.
I got a 1.
Okay.
I got a 6.
Okay, so Kronk and Butch, both of you have lost about a quarter of your health. And let's see, who got the 8?
That would be me.
Okay, Spook, you lost half of your health and all of your gear. Who got the 1?
That's whatever it is. It sounds about right.
DeVito? DeVito, you lost all of your adventuring gear.
Of course.
So after about a week of traveling, everybody arrives exhausted and looking worse for wear, and you are greeted by Baron Tagami. Thank you, my dear friends. There is peace in the realm, and I have you to thank for this. He greets everyone. I see you've had quite an adventure ridding us of all the terrors in the realm. Please, come in, relax for a bit, and freshen up before being received for the Holiday Fest party. Baron Tagami walks with all of you and escorts you through the servants' quarters to maintain the surprise of your arrival to the rest of the guests. He talks about the positive changes that are coming to the realm. As you walk up the servants' stairs, everyone sees the remodeling going underway on the second floor. Baron Tagami turns to the adventurers. Don't mind the construction. We're building offices to better prepare for the growing demands of the realm. We're very excited. So when everybody reaches the third floor, there's quite the celebration going on down the other end of the hallway. Baron Tagami stops in front of an immaculately decorated wooden door and turns to you. I have to get back to the guests, but I'll send a valet to escort you once you've recovered. I'm very glad you're all here. Baron Tagami smiles proudly at all of you before turning around and walking back into the ballroom at the other end of the hallway. So at this point, everybody give us a real quick synopsis of the character you're playing.
My name is Butch McDallas. I'm a human fighter today. We're just going to have a bunch of fun.
All right, so I'm DeVito, right? And I'm one of them barbarian types, and like I come out from the East Coast, and so I had to travel all the way down to the West Coast, and that's whenever I got up to here. And the reason why I had to leave there is because I had a little bit of a following, but not the good kind, you know? It's like the kind that you have to go away from, because if you stick around, then like it's going to catch up with you and you're going to get tossed in somewhere.
So I'm a half-orc warlock, and been traveling all over the place, keeping things going.
I'm Spook Whisper Toes, and I'm a monk in training, but I don't like it there, so I keep running away and I keep getting in trouble. So I, yeah. And just, you guys were very nice enough to help me escape so I can go on adventures and fight stuff I want.
So everybody begins to remove the rest of your clothing, the rest of your armor and your gear, just start slapping everything down. You find yourselves a corner inside this royal suite, which is decked out rather nice. There's a wash area. There's everything you need to get all spruced up. They even have polish for all the metals that you have. I mean, it's exquisite, right? The Baron spared no expense in making y'all feel very welcome in his home. So while everyone is trying to get ready, all of a sudden, y'all hear screams and explosions going off. And it's coming from the other side of the wall, from what y'all can quickly gather is the ballroom.
Oh, man. Sounds like there's quite the ruckus going on over there. Should we go check it out?
Ah, shit. They found me.
Weren't they supposed to be having a party? Is it, are we sure it's, would it be, you know, fireworks inside?
All right. Everybody roll an investigation check.
13 for Kronk.
9 for Spook.
Yeah, I don't see so good, so I got a 4.
Spook's probably distracted by the decorations.
Okay, what did Butch get?
With his modifier, he got a 20.
Damn. All right, Butch, you're able to crack open the door just a tad, and you immediately see 2 high elf veterans and 4 high elf guards checking every room in the hallway headed towards y'all. And you can see people getting shoved around, and it seems like they're trying to gather everybody into the ballroom right now.
Oh, man, there's some high elves coming this way. They might try to rustle us up into the rest of them. Uh-huh. We got to hide, or we got to get out of here.
Lock the door?
That's a good start. Butch closes and locks the door.
Okay.
Spook climbs on the back of the biggest person in our party and just kind of clings there. He weighs like 30 pounds. You wouldn't even notice him. Just kind of climbs up on the tallest person.
I think that would be me.
Okay,
you see that there is no lock on the door. However, as you're closing the door, you do notice that the servant stairs that you came up through, the secret way, is only about 20 feet away from that door.
All right.
Can we get there without them noticing us?
Everyone can roll a stealth check.
Well, that's easy for Spook. I mean, he has natural halfling stealth.
See, I don't move so good either. But I'm pretty sure, like, if we just go sneak around the back, I'm pretty sure those ass clowns ain't going to be able to find us.
Well, everyone roll for stealth.
Ah, shit. All right. Oh, thank God. That's an 18 from Danny.
17 for Spook.
18 for Kronk.
Butch got a 9.
Okay, so everybody is able to dash out the door and make it to the stairs, with the exception of Butch. You ended up having a little bit of a distraction for everyone else to make it through, and all of a sudden, one of them lobs a firebolt in your direction. Does a 13 hit?
No, it does not.
Alrighty, and with that, it bounces off the wall, setting it on a little bit of a spark on fire there, and everyone's in the stairwell. A quick look around, you notice that the lower levels have been blocked off. The only way to go is up.
Well, it looks like we only got us one way to go. Who wants to lead?
Spook just clings onto Kronk's back, and he doesn't want to move.
So,
God, no, he's like a little squirrel.
I speak squirrel.
G-g-g-g-g.
Yes, I'm first at all the small woodland creatures. I was a golden chipmunk.
I didn't get it.
Yes, you'll be just fine. Just calm down, okay?
All right, everybody roll a very quick perception check.
That would be a 6 for Kronk.
Oh, man, Butch just rolled himself natural 20.
Dirty 20 for Spook.
Yeah, you see, you keep asking me to do all the observational stuff, right? But like I told you, I don't see so good. I got a 3.
All right, so then Spook and Butch, both of y'all notice that everyone ran out of the room without your armor, without your weapons, without your shoes, save for 1 dagger, 1 dart, 1 club, and 1 whip.
Well, shit.
Yeah, I don't know if you guys are okay. You might want to start splitting up what weapons you got.
I can use a dagger, and a club works, but I also have some magic.
Give me the club.
Anyone else?
I don't need weapons.
I don't know about you, but I see that whip and it's got my name on it. I'm a man, cheetah.
All right, so everyone starts making their way up the stairs.
Yep.
Okay.
Well, the trunk is, yeah.
Okay. Okay, so then everyone roll 1 more stealth check.
B, a 14 for Kronk.
But got himself a 12.
Okay, so Kronk and Butch, both of you notice as you're sneaking up a couple of high elf thugs at the next floor up, which is the vault floor. And you see high elf thugs guarding the door there, looking around down the hallway of the vault, pretty much having their backs to you. So everyone continues up the next floor up. However, you do note that it is a throne room and nobody is guarding that door.
Is this the top?
No, there's more stairs that go up, but on that floor, there's nobody guarding it.
Seeing as they're searching everything, would this be a good place to hide? Or should we keep going? Because it is kind of the throne room.
I wouldn't hide in here.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. So, Butch, what do you think? Individual?
Yeah, let's go in the throne room. We'll see what they've got some comfy chairs in there.
No, I was thinking
of only one.
Continuing to go, because they're going to search us.
I think we have all agreed now that we want to go up.
Yep.
Up.
Oh, keep going up?
Up.
Okay. Yeah. You go up to the next floor, and you find that it's the parapet. You're actually on the rooftop of this entire tower.
Oh, no, not again.
Oh, man, we went too far. Hey, y'all want to head back down to that throne room?
Yeah.
Are y'all saying that out loud?
Yeah.
I'm whispering.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So everybody roll a perception check.
19 for Krunk.
Okay, with a 19, you notice one high elf paladin and two high elf mages. And with the 19, you can tell that the paladin is kind of watching over what the mages are doing. And you're not really sure what the mages are doing, but you know they're doing something up there. You also want to head back down?
Yes.
Okay. So you head back down. And again, the throne room. Now you see some commotion going on in there, but there's nobody at the door. Whatever's going on is further in, deeper into the throne room, the floor.
We should probably try to sneak in. Hide.
All right. Roll for stealth.
All right.
All of us.
Whoever wants to go into the room.
Butch just rolled a 14 and plus 1 is 15.
Krunk rolled a 10.
Natural 20 for Spook.
I told you, it's a 5.
Goodness.
You keep asking me to do all this, like running up the stairs, running down the stairs. And now I'm starting to get all cramped and it's a little chafy between my hips. And it's kind of like, I got some back pains going on. And I just want to just take something out. Just screw it.
Okay.
Good audio.
Great audio. So here's what y'all see with that stealth check. It's enough to let y'all get close to what's going on in the main room. You see in the throne room, Baron Tagami is sitting down with a neatly dressed high elf mage. They are surrounded by 4 high elf acolytes and 5 high elf guards. Give me a quick perception check and we'll go with the highest one.
19 for Kronk.
No, that beats me.
Nah, I get a 16 there.
18 for Spook.
Bam. All right, so Krunk, you hear a voice.
Baron Tagami, my colleagues need the vault opened up, but there are highly powerful glyphs preventing them from getting through. Give us the access codes and we will not have to kill you. You have to the count of 3 to give me the codes. 1, 2. So you're going to just go ahead and kill me. And then you see Baron Tagami's head get blown off with a fireball.
Oh, there was nothing good about what just happened there.
Well, how are they going to get the codes now?
So, with DeVito's very low stealth check, he lets one rip. And then so the elf guards look over in y'all's direction, and you see the high elf mage. Go check it out. What do y'all want to do?
Is there any place to hide? Is there a place?
I'm pretty sure at this point we're all tucked away behind the throne.
Well, I mean, at this point, if y'all don't engage the enemy, then you stay hidden.
That's exactly what I would like.
Spook does his best to find a good shadowy place to kind of just like bend down and hide because he can be pretty much. Is there any place that he can? Otherwise, he'll stay on Krunk's shoulders.
Totally up to you. I'll let y'all explore the space a little bit. What would you want to hide behind, or how would you play this out?
Like a curtain or a tapestry hanging from the wall that decorates the walls, if there is any. Or possibly a huge painting and try to blend in with it. I don't know. What's in the room? What do we got? Do I got to roll for investigation? Give me something.
Yeah, roll investigation. See what you find.
Rolled 15.
Yes, with a 15, I will give you that painting. So you stand in front of it, look like you're a part of it.
Just pretends he's in meditative pose and just holds position.
Which, let's see. All right, let them roll. Okay, so here's how this plays out. Everyone ducks, dives, dodges out of the way into the shadows, and then there is Spook standing in front, or excuse me, I guess what, sitting crisscross applesauce style?
Or possibly pose like a, whatever's on the painting, like a cherub or something.
So Spook is posing like a meditative cherub in front of this painting that just depicts this very masculine female wrestling a bull, metaphorically speaking, by the horns. So it's totally out of place. And the high elf guards come rushing in. They take a look around. They go running back. We see nothing because they rolled a one.
Yay.
That's a good cherub.
That's pretty good fortune for us.
All right. So the next move would then be for everyone to try to make the way down to the construction floor, and that's going to be from where you are, three floors down.
Oh man, how are we going to get all the way down there?
Using the same servant stairs as well. You just do it. Let's roll another stealth check.
You know, at this point, I'd probably say we should probably look for like an air duct.
All right, do an investigation check.
Ah, shit. I shouldn't have said anything.
23 for Spook. Like somehow does like a little thing on his tippy toes, like in old school cartoons, just ding, 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 headed towards the door. He's just, most of his body, except for his toes, are moving him towards that door.
So as your toes are going across the floor there, you notice right next to the door, heading back into the servant stairs, you notice the air duct. And it's just big enough for DeVito to fit right through easily.
Or Spook.
Ooh. Or Spook.
We wants to jump up into it.
that's not going to work. I can't go in there.
I mean, what's the big deal? What's the worst that's going to happen? We get together, have a few laughs.
No, my shoulders, they're too wide.
But give me that weapon of yours. I'm going clubbing.
Spook does Step of the Wind and jumps up into it.
All right, you're in the air duct.
Okay.
Well, I'm not so good with the acrobatics, so I'm going to need a couple of you guys to, you know, help me out.
Yeah, sure, no problem. Give me a nice little boost.
All right, roll athletics check.
22.
Butch. All right. So that's a dirty one.
All right, so with a 22, you just haul him into the air duct, and with a dirty one, DeVito, you are in the duct, but you're having a hell of a time trying to wiggle your way through.
I'm just trying to scooch it.
Like, you ever seen one of those ginormous like walruses or seals that are like way too big, and you see them flop across the snow?
Man, there was a time, like, this is after a peyote trip. A friend of mine named Frangelico, I was one of them walruses, man. I've lived it.
So now we have both Spook and DeVito in the air duct, and Butch and Kronk. What are y'all doing?
Well, does it look like we would fit?
You can try.
Yep. Hey, Kronk, give me a boost.
There you go.
So I'm in.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Hey. Well, we'll see what I can do. And that would be acrobatics. That would be a 9.
With a 9, let's say with a 9, you do make it in, but not before you bust some ass in there.
Sorry.
Everybody roll a constitution check.
Oh.
Oh, mine's pretty good there.
19 for Spook. Spook's probably way ahead anyway, so he's ahead of the crop dust in there. Darby, that's not helping. Oh, God, what my happened? Dog farted. No!
Ambiance.
Well, stop helping them, Darby. Man.
This is method acting.
She's choking.
I can't clear a room.
Okay, so everyone...
There's the whole apartment.
All right, so everyone is now in the air duct, headed down towards... Well, who knows where you'll find yourselves now. So you're going through the air duct, and there's some ups, there's some downs, and you find yourself what appears to be a lot of talking back and forth. Spook, you're in the front, so you have to roll an investigation check.
Okay. Investigation is an 18.
Okay. You hear some voices talking about the vault, the glyphs, need a miracle because it's holiday fest. It's the time for miracles, you hear someone say. That's about all you get. But with that high of an investigation, you can also tell that there's about two voices talking. And if you look through the vent, you can see that there's eight very well armed high elves. Whoever these people are, you can definitely tell that they are high elves, all of them. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. It seems like they're here and they mean business. Do you want to do anything or want to keep moving through the air duct?
I think I might actually have an idea here.
What?
So are these little high elven things, like, are they like armored or like, is it like heavy?
Some of them are.
And they're packing some armor. Real heat, right?
Yeah, but there's also a lot of spellcasters amongst them, too.
That makes sense.
You can hear them all talking about preparing the second floor, the construction floor. You keep hearing them repeat the construction floor.
Think about the construction floor.
It's a couple floors down. That's where we're trying to go, right?
Let's go.
Okay, so you keep moving through the ducts, and yeah, you go through the third floor. The drop is maybe about 40 feet from the ceiling down to the floor of where everybody is being held hostage. You see about 30 attendees being held, you know, in place. They're all just acting nervous and kind of being jittery back and forth. You keep making your way down to the second floor. This time, you do notice that while there is a lot of construction going on, you don't see a whole lot of tools, not anything be used per se as a makeshift weapon. But you do notice that there's nobody on the construction floor as of right now.
Maybe we should check it out. Yeah, Butch is gonna look around. He just wants to do a little bit of investigating.
Okay, you drop down?
Yes.
All right.
Same for Kronk. Get out of this cramped space.
All right, so let's roll an investigation check.
14 for Spook.
Oh. 23 for Butch.
14 for Kronk.
That's going to be a 19.
Well, he's lower to the ground. Easier to see shit.
So, Butch, you notice immediately that you see the stairs going down to the first floor of the main area, not necessarily the servants' quarters. The servants' quarters is just like the servants' stairs, just off to the side. But the main entrance, you can notice downstairs that it is being fortified by several other high elf guards and spellcasters. And definitely, you see a lot of bad dudes down there. Like, they're waiting for something to happen. But here on the second floor, with a 23, you see something that's out of place, though. You see a lot of crates, you see a lot of pallets with a lot of construction stuff, but then you see this, you notice this one thing that seems out of place, the materials of this box. And it's not necessarily like the size of a crate, but it's a lot smaller, maybe like a 1.5 by 1.5 box that's just sitting perfectly, and it's completely clean compared to the rest of the room. And you notice that it's a magic trap in place. And had you not seen it before, you notice that Spook starts walking towards it, and you grab him by the scruff of his collar.
Yeah.
Oh, there, that little one.
Slow down. It is so pretty, though.
No. This is bad magic.
Oh.
Hey, all right, hey, guys. And with a 19, guess what I found? A bad beer.
With a 19, you notice that the windows to the second floor are magically sealed. Like, there's some kind of heavy-duty magic spell.
Probably to stop all the jumpers.
Okay, so DeVito, roll me a perception check.
This is a tall order there, pal, but okay. That's going to be a 14.
Ooh, that meets it, beats it. All right, so with a 14, you do notice somebody coming up the stairs.
We're about to have company.
Oh, yeah, let's look for hiding spots.
Yeah, let's go.
Oh, shit.
Spook's already looking for the best hiding spot right now and scampers away on tiptoes. Like, kind of little lizard hop.
I'm sorry, that was just so greatly timed.
Kronk's trying to find a spot that'll hide his broad shoulders.
Everybody roll stealth.
16.
All right, you passed.
I always have to worry because of my weak ankles.
27 for Spook.
You're one with the shadows. Goodness.
I am the night.
I told you I don't move so good. I got a 6.
Oh, damn. Butch got 11.
So here's what happens. Butch and DeVito, both of you dive from opposite directions behind the same crate that you knock each other backwards. And you both land on your asses as the mage pulls out a wand. And all right, let's all roll for initiative.
Oh, yeah.
18 for Kronk.
Yeah, Butch got a dirty 20. Woo!
5 for Spook.
Yeah, I got a 16 there.
All right. High Elf Mage got a very strong 6. So, top of the order, Butch.
How far away is this High Mage from me?
I'd say he's at 50 feet as he's coming up the stairs.
Oh, man, it's too far for me. I'm gonna start rushing him with my club out.
You go 30 feet as your movement, and you do have a bonus action, so you want to cover the rest of that terrain?
Oh, of course I do.
Okay.
Run extra fast.
All right, and now you have your action.
And I'll come down right on its head with my club.
All right, roll it.
Oh, with my attack modifier. That's 17.
17 hits.
Very respectable, 17. All right, what does a club damage do? Or should I just make it up?
Let's go with 1d6. I want to say it's 6.
Yes.
It's a 6.
Oh, that worked out. I rolled a 6 plus 3, 9.
You just hear the maid scream out, ah! Next up is Kronk.
So, Eldritch Blast, the mage. Just,
all right, roll it.
B, 18.
18 hits.
4 points of damage.
And then again, he screams, that is not good. All right. Next up is DeVito.
Well, I'm going to keep this pretentious little bastard from screaming any further. So, I'm going to take my little whip here, see, and I'm going to lash out at it. And I'm going to try and wrap it around his throat and just, like, gank it. And he's just, like, yanking leg really hard and trying to get him to shut up.
All right, so you're grappling?
I am going to grapple.
Alrighty. Roll a strength check.
All right. That is a 22.
With a 22. The High Elf Mage, you know, because he's studied the arcane quite a bit more than actually doing a few squats and bench press workouts like he should have to even himself out, scored a 9. So a roll for damage. It's a 1d...
Pretty sure it's 6. I think it's a 6. That's a 6.
1d4 slashing damage.
Oh, 1d4.
Yeah.
That is going to be a... Oh, wait. I got to have that little modifier thingy right.
Yep, you always do.
Oh, no. See, I don't move so good. I got that, like, arthritis thing going in my hand. So what could have been a 4 is actually just ended up being a 3.
All right. So that's with a 3. And the mage is now grappled. Where is the whip wrapped around?
It's wrapped around his stupid little neck so he can shut up.
Well, he's about to say, oh, no, this is not... Okay, I just looked it up. A club is actually a 1d4, so we'll just go with that on the next turn. And next is the mage, who isn't really sure what the hell is going on. He's just kind of caught off guard. He was just sent up here to look for some extra supplies that they might need downstairs to fortify something rather, and decides to cast Magic Missile at DeVito.
Because of course he does.
Of course he does. And that would be at level... 2, so he sends 4 of them your way. Okay, with 14 points of force damage.
Just, oh, that hurt.
Pew, 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 pew. And go ahead and roll me a strength check.
All right. That's a 19.
Okay, somehow you're miraculously able to hang on to the whip. Good job.
It's because I got that barbarian rage, and I've got the whip in my right hand, and I got the beer I found in my left, and there's no way I'm dropping that shit.
All right, next is Spook.
Yeah.
You just saw this mage light up DeVito right in front of you. What are you going to do?
Okay. How far away would you say Spook is from this person?
You're about 20 feet away.
Okay.
So you have room to maneuver in front of him or behind him or whatever you want to go.
Since I don't have any weapons and, well, it's a good thing he's a monk.
Yep.
Why don't you, like, punch him in the gut or something?
Yeah, just punch him in the stomach, and then that way, like, it's just going to suffer.
Kick him in the nards!
That, too.
Flurry of blows to the nards.
To his balls.
Go for it. Go for it.
Sure enough. All right. So Spook decides this is his chance. He's like, not my buddy. And he starts running up, like, full speed because he has no armor, no shield, so his speed increased by 10 feet.
Awesome.
He just goes full force and does flurry of blows right into his nutsack.
Okay.
I have bonus action as well. Rolled a 14.
That hits.
First punch, it's a 1. Rolled a 1. There it is, 3.
Okay, so one the plus... 4.
That would be 19.
That hits.
6.
All right.
Rolled a 17.
That hits.
3 plus 3 is 6. Rolled a 7.
That one misses.
Ah.
So
right through the cloth of his pants.
You did a speed bag number on his nuts, and you just hit cloth on that last one because the nuts got tucked back all the way back to his
Proceed.
And that's the end of the first round. And you just hear the mage just hit that high C note.
Mariah Carey status.
And Butch, you're up.
I'm going to beat him on the head one more time with that club. He's going to go out. Oh, my goodness. I may have killed him. I just rolled a natural 20. Plus all 5, right. So that's 25.
All right, roll that damage.
I was trying to knock him out, right?
Yeah. It's up to you.
Yeah, I was trying to knock him out. I'll roll the damage if I can pick this thing up. 5. I used a D4 this time instead of a D6.
Okay, he is still very much conscious and very pissed off.
Oh no, it's 10 because of the it was a natural 20.
In that case, yes, he is now conked out. Just and lights out.
That's how we used to do it back on the range.
Alrighty. And now combat is over.
Woo.
So what do y'all want to do next?
We gotta make sure this guy's got tons of good and useful loot.
Yeah, like Spook wants to look around for stuff.
Okay.
He had a wand, didn't he?
Yes, he did. Okay, so who's going through? Checking them in? Or I guess all of y'all are checking them anyway. So even if it's one of you, then the rest of y'all are just kind of standing over them. And you do notice that the wand has some magical charges on it. Kronk, give me an Arcana check.
Ooh, natural 20!
With the natural 20, you notice that the shape and the color of this wand, it has one more charge of Thunder Wave left, and that's about it for that. Butch, give me a history check.
You expect me to know things, huh? Oh, I do know things. And an 11, though.
With an 11, that's enough to know that there's a magical lift at one end of the room that you know leads up to the ballroom. You've seen how this works. It just has this spell that lets it go up and down only. And so you think to yourself, maybe you can write something on this mage and send it up to the ballroom to give them a message.
Man, that's a great idea that I just had.
Now I have a magic wand.
Who knows how to write?
I can write.
All right, we need to write a message to the people upstairs to let them know the cavalry is coming.
Should I write it in squirrel?
No.
Yes.
I'm just not sure. I know you want. Would understand that.
I know you want another acorn. We'll get you one. All right, so just in regular
squeaking, squeaker, squeak, squeaking.
I don't owe you another acorn. So, all right. So just in common then. Just is that good? I have a magic wand.
Hole.
Whatever. That was a dirty one. Just make it fast. I'm sure he's going to have some buddies coming up, wondering where he is.
I write that, and there we go.
So y'all are sending up the message. And see, with that history roll, Butch, you also know that the militia is probably about 3 to 5 miles away, and the best way to get a hold of them is probably from the rooftop and signal them somehow.
You know, we should probably head up to the roof, maybe set a fire, or shoot magic missiles, something into the air to try to alert the local militia.
But aren't there still mages up there?
Oh, what? Shit, and they got that thing that they were doing, too. I bet if we find it, we can use it. We could do it that way.
Maybe we could just push them over the edge.
Yeah, there was one paladin and 2 mages. I mean, paladins are kind of chumps anyways.
Never trust a paladin.
Let's get this guy on his way, and we'll head up.
I like it.
All right. And we'll pause right there for my beer break. Hey everyone, Dungeon Meister Paul here, also known as Stunt Monkey Z on Twitter, with my beer break. I just want to make a quick mention before we get back to the episode. All of us here would like to thank everyone who's been supporting us and helping us along the way this entire year. It's been a heck of a ride getting to know lots of awesome, awesome people and growing our D&D siblings more and more every day. It's been amazing. Yeah, we've been growing so much. And we just really hope that we are giving everybody something worthwhile to listen to. And speaking of something worthwhile, I wanted to talk about Dungeon Painter Studio, our newest sponsor. Dungeon Painter Studio is a powerful encounter map design tool for both the seasoned map maker and the beginning map sketcher. It comes with a lot of features to help you create your very own world maps. If you're not sure about buying it, you can always try their free online version. The online version does have some limited functions, but you'll quickly discover that the full version is the best way to go. And it's highly affordable. That's the amazing part of this whole thing. It's a very powerful tool, and yet it's very, very affordable for everything that you could possibly need. Now, if you are into other tabletop games, Dungeon Painter Studio has you covered. It's not just for D&D. It's also for any tabletop RPG out there. It's a terrific, terrific tool to use. Dungeon Painter Studio is available for purchase on Steam and is a very smart and powerful investment for any diehard DM. And speaking of, I also have to mention that our winner for our Dungeon Painter Studio giveaway is Cheaper by the Dungeon at Cheaper Dungeon. Congratulations. And I'll be getting in contact with y'all on how to get that going for you to have there. All right. So speaking of diehard DMing, this episode was originally intended as a gift to my PCs. They've been amazing. Please give them a follow on Twitter. Alex, Jake, Lenny, Kitty, thank you. Thank you so much. I love y'all. Y'all are the best D&D siblings anyone could ever have. And on to bigger and better things. Everyone else out there listening to this, have a happy holidays. I hope y'all are able to enjoy your holiday season a little bit more with this adventure. And happy new year. See y'all next year.
Let's go. I only have a few burps left in me.
Just record one good one and we can put it in whenever we want.
I already did.
Just soundbite it.
That'll be the intro and the outro, dude.
Until next time.
Okay, so y'all have to sneak up to the parapet to get up to the local militia. Let's just do a real quick stealth check from everybody.
17. Size way up.
Oh, man. What are we rolling for?
Butch got a Butch still rolled himself a 19. He's pretty happy with that.
Has his own theme music.
25 from Spook.
Hold on, what was that, Spook?
25.
Okay, you're one with the wind. And DeVito.
You can always count on the fact that I can't be counted on because it's a 4.
All right, so with a 4, y'all make it back to the top. And the High Elf Paladin and the 2 High Elf Mages are alerted to your presence. And the goal here is to notify the militia about 3 to 5 miles away.
I use the last charge of Thunderwave right towards the 3 of them, because they're all standing really close together, right?
Yeah, go for it. All right, you have to roll it, or what do I... Oh, no, I have to roll... which save throw?
Constitution saving throw. On a failed save, creatures take 2d8 thunder damage and is pushed 10 feet away from you, because they're right near the edge too, aren't they?
Yes, they are.
Perfect.
All right.
Coming together.
Man, you sound so much better. Okay, so what was the constitution save?
My constitution saving throw, spell save, is going to be 12.
All right, I got a 5, a 6, and a very solid 10.
So they're going to take... That would be 13 points of force damage and be thrown back 10 feet.
Boom! Okay, so they just turn around, they're like, attack, oh shit! And they all three go flying off.
I'm also going to cast massive prestidigitation to make a giant fireworks display. Right at the top.
Wait a minute.
Oh yeah.
I'm gonna try and run up to the rail because I want to see it. Well, I want to see 3 pieces of road pizza get made.
Okay. All right. So I'll say this. Thunderwave is your primary attack, and prestidigitation is a cantrip, so that'll be your bonus action.
Yes.
While that's going on, you see down below, one of the mages cast Featherfall on himself and the other mage, and the paladin is just out of reach. So the paladin ends up hitting a militia cart, and then you hear somebody screaming and yelling using thaumaturgy. This is Cal. I'm at Tominaka. I'm under bodies flying around. I need some backup assistance now. Now, goddammit, now. As it's driving backwards and over this little ridge.
I write, well, come to the party, pal.
So you successfully alerted the militia, who have now mobilized.
Perfect.
Pigs are coming. Let's do this.
Now, you do notice, though, that the militia has arrived, but nobody can get over this giant moat. There's a drawbridge that needs to be lowered. Let's see. Let's roll a history check from everybody.
That would be a 19 plus, minus 1, 18.
Okay. 14 for Spook.
Yeah, Krunk's not very intelligent.
What was that, Spook?
14.
Okay.
That's all right.
18 plus 2 for DeVito, and that's going to be a dirty 20.
That's all right. I only got a 23.
So everybody.
It's not a competition, you know. This is a co-op.
I said it's the same with our Hyatt, right? Right. Competition. Be quiet there, little man. The adults are talking.
Hey, watch it there, bud.
I love you as a gnome, dude. That's awesome. All right, so everybody remembers Baron Tagami had really invested a lot of his private funds to setting up this tower to be the best response to the ongoing demands of the realm. And one thing you do remember is that there is a command room back in the throne room, which is the floor right below you. And I'm assuming everyone's going to head over to the command room.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Probably where we can let the drawbridge down.
Yes, you know that there are that there is a lever there that needs to be pulled. Holy crap, I just realized. Pull the lever, Krunk.
Pull the lever.
Grab the lever! Why do we even have that lever?
Smack the alligator. All right, so everyone's heading into the command room, and let's see, everybody, let's roll a real quick perception check.
Ooh, that would be a, that's a 6.
Hey, it all was right. Meant to be a 4.
I love it. It was meant to be a 4. I love that.
Yeah, mine's a 4 as well.
Yeah, mine's just an 8.
Okay.
We all got caught up in the moment here, and
we ain't found shit.
Well said.
Well, anybody with an 8 or higher, you notice that there are 2 high elf thugs waiting for you in the throne room.
Oh, shit, that's me. So I, what's that fucking word? You know, it's right off the tip of my tongue. It's, right, I fidget with my little, glasses, my little spectacle thingies, and, like, I'm like, they're down here, too.
Ah, initiative.
All right, we'll keep the same initiative. Son of a bitch. Okay, so it's going to go Butch, Krunk, DeVito, both thugs, and then Spook at the very end.
Okay.
All right, Butch, you have the floor.
Oh, man. How far away are they from us?
They are about 30 feet away.
What are they armed with?
Mace. One has a heavy crossbow, and that's what you got.
I'm going to run at the one with the mace.
All righty. I'm going
to beat him around the head and shoulders with my club.
All right, you do that.
Let me see, that's a 16 to hit.
16 hits.
All right, yeah. 1 to 4 plus 3. I did 5 points of damage with my club.
All right, he's feeling it. Next up is Krunk.
So I'm going to run at the other one and just go blasting. And as I'm running, I'm going to cast Eldritch Blast at him as a bonus action so that I can still punch him when I get there. And that would be a 17 hit.
17 hits.
And that would be for 9 points of force damage.
God, dog, dude.
Now I'm running up. And that would be a dirty 20 to punch him.
That connects.
Perfect. And I'm going to... Here we go. So,
isn't it just your strength modifier?
Well, it says 3 bludgeoning plus 2, so it'd be 5.
Okay.
So just 5 points. Bah! Right to the face.
Damn. You bring that bastard down to his knees. All right, next up is DeVito. You have one thug standing, still standing, and the other one is down on one knee.
All right. And so I fly into a rage. I know I'm not going to do much to the guy that's standing because he's twice as high as I am. And I know how to pick my battles. I may be an angry, temperamental little thing, but I know my limits. And so I'm going to go after the guy that's on his knee. And I'm just going to come up and I'm just going to wrap my whip around him. And I'm just going to strangle him.
Please tell me you got all that.
Yeah.
Basically, it's a lot of talk.
And roll that beautiful bean footage.
I will. It dropped. Shit.
Oh, is that where he fell down the hill?
Don't roll a one.
It's a 20!
What's a 20?
He caught himself.
All right,
I stumble a little bit, then I pick back up with it.
So you're using a 20 to what? To grapple him again with the whip or what?
I'm going to grapple the guy that's kneeling and I'm just going to full-blown strangle him. I'm going to try and pop his little high elf head off.
Well, with a 20, that's not enough. There's not enough strength to pop his head off. But
you
I will
sure about
say
that, man. I've got a, you know, I got a 15 for strength.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'll say this: the momentum from it is so strong because you went into a rage, and I mean, popping his head off would declare like he's like legally dead, but he still has a ton of hit points. So I'll say this: with that momentum, his body goes flying back towards that lever, and then the drawbridge drops.
I'll take it.
All right.
On ya.
All right, and I'll say this. That also creates an attack of opportunity with that movement for Butch.
Oh,
is there anything you want to do with that thug that's flying backwards there? There's a window near, like, right next to the lever.
Yeah, I want a Spartan kick him right in the chest.
Right, go for athletics check. Or no,
I saw this once.
Let's just, I guess, roll it to strike, I guess.
Foot strike. All right, after my hit, I got 19.
You want to say something cool before you send him out the window?
Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
I love old westerns.
All right, he goes flying out the window.
I'm actually thinking of Boondock Saints in my head a little bit at the same time. What do you need a bloody rope for? You're acting like this is a fucking movie.
All right, Ramble, get your fucking rope.
I Ramble, get your fucking rope.
That's Roy Rogers, you asshole. All right. So oddly enough, the drawbridge goes halfway down and it gets jammed. And then so that thug actually hits the edge of the drawbridge, sends it flying down, and he splatters across the floor as he is able to unwedge the rest of the drawbridge all the way down. Although you still have another thug right there in front of you. Looks like that dude's going. Since he sees his homie go down, he goes after Butch.
Oh, man.
With an 18.
Yep, that one hits.
All right, so he swings his mace around trying to smack you across the face. That is going to be 7 damage.
And there you goes just feel the moneymaker.
Collide. Just crack.
Ow. All
right, next up is Spook.
Yeah.
There's one thug left. You just saw him pelt Butch across the face with a mace.
Oh, hell no.
All right, so flurry of blows again. Should still have enough key for that.
All right, so roll your first attack.
Mm-hmm. Rolled an 11.
Wow, meets it, beats it. Actually, you know what? Let's do this. Roll the next attack.
19.
That hits. Now you roll your flurry of blows, which is 2 more d20s.
9. Roll that again. 13.
Okay. So I heard 19 and 13, both of those hit.
I heard 19, 13.
Yep, good hits.
Alex, how'd that sound to you? That sound like to you?
Yep.
Yeah, yep.
All right. Sounded,
perfect.
Okay, so then roll your...
She hit all 3 times, right?
All 4 times, yeah.
Oh.
That's 4 die 4?
Yeah, and you add your dexterity to each one.
Ooh, so that's 5 plus 6 plus 4 plus 4. Oh, wait, 6. Never mind. I can count.
21.
Woohoo.
Oh, man, that dude is looking rough. At this point, you brought him down to both his knees and one hand down, just crack. It's like you hit one knee, you popped the other knee out of its socket, and then you grabbed his arm and you just like forced him down onto your knee, crack. And then you just used the back of your elbow, brought it across the back of his head, just bah! And so now he's just down on like in a 3-point stance right now at this point. And top of the order is Butch.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I can't top that.
Butch, this guy just took a cheap shot at you with his mace. What do you want to do?
Oh, I'm going to hit him. What do I got here? Got my club. I got my mean spirit. Okay, I'm just right at the back of the head with this club. Now that he's kind of down, kneeling, should just be very easy for me to bring it right on down with a 24.
That hits.
All right. 7 points of damage. Is there any kind of bonus or anything? He's down on all three.
No. Describe how you kill him.
Oh, it it's a club. It just sticks right into his head. Just like crunch, stays, gets held in there by little pieces of bone. But I take his mace as payment.
All right. The mace does 1d6 plus 2 damage.
Ooh.
And this guy also had a set of leather armor and also has a heavy crossbow.
I'll take the armor. Anybody want this crossbow?
I don't see so good, so I don't need the crossbow, and you can keep that armor. I fight naked just as well as anybody else.
I'll take the heavy crossbow.
Oh, sure. Here you go.
Okay, so everyone looks out the window, and you see this ginormous battle wagon that seats about 8 people inside. You see it careening over the bridge, but stops immediately before the gate. Kronk, roll me an arcana check.
That would be a 17.
With a 17, you know that magic shield that was surrounding the second floor must be down on the first floor, preventing the battle wagon to get through. And as soon as y'all notice that the battle wagon is stopped, it's immediately blasted with a fireball from the second floor. Butch, do me another history check.
Yep, coming up. Oh, man, I am on fire tonight. Move me a 19 plus 4, so 23 for history.
23, you know that there's another dumbwaiter that goes directly to the second floor, that it originally was intended to send items up and down as needed between the civil services office being constructed and the throne room. That way the Baron can have quick access to stuff that's happening almost in real time.
Oh, so, man. Hey, we should get down there to the second floor to stop them from killing all the militia.
Let's see.
Use this dumbwaiter.
Okay, and DeVito, roll me a survival check.
Oh, I got you there, pal. With a 19, I told you I'd get there.
Alrighty, and then let's see. How about Spook? Make me an Arcana check.
Arcana is a 7.
All right. So here's what y'all find out: is that DeVito, you know that. Oh, hold on, let me go back. Spook, you know that with your Arcana check, that you know that even though the magic wand has expended its last thunder wave, that it still has the essence of it, and if it breaks, then it'll explode a heavy-duty Thunderwave spell. And DeVito, with your survival check, you know that if you tied the wand to something heavy and send it down the dumbwaiter, that it would be a perfect makeshift weapon to annihilate whatever's on the second floor. And as soon as y'all are coming up with that, the battle wagon gets hit again with another fireball. What do y'all want to do?
Well, with all of our knowledge put together, I think we know how to end the chaos coming out of the second floor.
But I like this wand.
Yeah, but they're killing all the militia.
Well, fine.
If it gets the heat off of my back, I'm gonna help them.
I don't want to get arrested.
what do we have heavy enough to send down there?
Grab the body.
That works.
We got rope.
I have a whip.
Alrighty. All right, so y'all making a makeshift weapon with the body of the thug, a whip, and a magic wand.
So I hand Spook the wand, and I pick up the body.
Okay, so you're tying the wand to the body, and then sending the body down with the wand tied to him.
Well, why do we got to waste string? Why don't we just put him up at the ass?
That's up to y'all. I don't know. I mean, I'm just...
I'm just saving
resources.
I mean,
do you
want
to get
here.
It out if we ever want it back? Like, do you really want to? Like, what if we want that back?
It would be the first time I've fished something out of something else.
All yours.
So, y'all make this body Thunderwave wand explosive, IED. The wand is shoved up its ass and send it down the dumbwaiter into the second floor. And immediately, the camera shifts over to the outside, and you just see, like, this huge Thunderwave just fly out of there, shattering every single window and sending everything just everywhere in every direction. Okay, so who's sending the body down there? Who's shoving it down the dumbwaiter? Everybody or just...
Well, just Kronk.
Yeah, Kronk. And Butch is going to help.
All right, roll a dexterity save.
Oh, that's a 4.
I'm sorry, I misunderstood the question.
Yeah, roll a dexterity save roll.
I did. It's a 1.
All right. 2d4 thunder damage that gets blown back through the dumb waiter for 7 points of damage to Kronk, and double that for Butch.
I think that knocked me out.
Did it knock you out? Okay.
Because I started with 24, I took 8 in the very beginning.
So then
I took another 7, and then because I maced to the face, I remember that clearly.
All right, so everybody roll me a medicine check except for Butch.
That would be a 19 plus 1, 20. It's a dirty 20.
He's going to give me mouth to mouth, ain't he?
Well, you know, that's
No, I rolled a 6. I'm going to give you mouth to mouth.
Yeah, I'm not kissing a llama.
Come here, bud.
Man, Spook, what'd you get? Spook, what'd you get?
14.
All right, so
something wrong with you, Jake.
All right, so here's what's happening. DeVito is listening to Butch's foot while Spook is quickly trying to revive Butch, and then Kronk ultimately is able to heal Butch for 1 hit point. And so as that's going on and Butch immediately snaps out of it, everybody hears through thaumaturgy a booming voice.
This is the captain of the militia. We are intending to blast the tower with an amplified version of dispelled magic that will knock out all magical effects inside that tower. When we do, we expect y'all to surrender.
And as soon as that happens, you feel this wave wash over the entire tower. And you see some of the lights that have been kind of amplified a bit. They all dim down. You immediately hear back another voice that says,
"Hello, local militia. This is the terrorist group. We want to release the hostages through the parapet floor. Send in ornithopters or airships to have them be picked up."
It's a trap.
All right, everybody roll a persuasion or intimidation check.
Ooh, I get to intimidate somebody.
That would be a 7 for Kronk.
Now, yeah, Butch got an 11.
18. 19 minus 1.
I got a 21.
So here's what happens. Kronk, you put up your hands in front of you as you see this massive crowd rush past you. You're like, "Hey, nothing to see here, nothing to see here. Go back downstairs, nothing here, nothing here." As they're all running past you, you're trying to get their attention. Butch, you're on the parapet trying to get their attention, like, no, go back down. And oddly enough, you also notice the glyphs are still lit up. Spook and DeVito, both of you realize that those glyphs are actually fireball spells, and if anybody steps on those glyphs, it's Fireball City, and it just creates this domino effect that'll blow everybody else up. So with both of your combined effort, Spook, you just freak everybody out. Give me that audio. How does that look like when you freak everyone out being Spook?
You just see Spook with his gangly limbs just kind of like walking like he's this weird...
"No, don't do it. Don't go this way. Don't step on the glyphs."
Puppet. Just like, he looks really sickly still, even though he's slightly young. He just doesn't look like he's healthy, but yeah, he's still shaking from all the ki he still has.
And DeVito, hit me with it. How do you intimidate everybody?
Through fear and intimidation. All right, everybody. If you goofy bastards want to end up like my 2 bastards and had me take care of them, then I swear you better cross that line. I'm an animal!
They don't know what the hell's going on, and they just do a 180 and head right back downstairs. Congratulations, you saved the hostages. So when y'all do that, y'all follow the crowd, and Kronk and Butch, y'all follow suit. Everyone's going through down the main stairs, going through the vault, the vault floor as well. Everybody roll me a perception check real quick.
5 for Butch.
4.
9 for Kronk.
Spook, give me a perception check.
5.
5.
Wow. Yeah.
Wow.
And that was my reroll.
This is the part where the glass comes in.
Hold on, what was your reroll? Can you reroll again? I didn't hear you.
Yeah, you rerolled.
Well, that reroll again. What was it? Roll 15. What was it?
15.
Okay. And with a 15, you notice that the vault door is open. And with a 15, you notice that a lot of the jewels and anything that's worth a ton of money, gold, jewels, diamond, whatever, is all gone. But you do notice something. You do notice these four little trinkets that are flung across the floor in front of the vault.
Mm-hmm. Spook goes to pick them up, or at least to see what they are, not touch them yet.
You go to pick them up, and you notice this bizarre writing on them. And oddly enough, you notice that a lot of these are actually from a foreign land. It's probably from where the Baron is originally from. Jake, if you look, there's an updated barbarian sheet for you.
And okay. I have Chi now.
Let me see. Lenny, you're the Wu Jen. Kitty, you have the So Hei. And Alex, you have the Samurai. Mm-hmm. Everyone has leveled up to level 3 now.
Does it mean I have full health again?
It does.
Hell yeah. I needed that shit.
Yay!
When you touch the trinkets, they immediately disperse weapons and armors that are based around your class. So given the context of we now have 3 minutes left, I know there's a lot to take in right now with your new classes that I've created specifically for everyone. We'll say this. You see the high elf wizard standing right there with a couple of his henchmen. Given as how everybody has their updated character sheets, their updated classes, their updated everything, I'll say this. Y'all get to choose your next weapon for this level up. Like, it's sitting right there, but because they didn't think about it, they were just looking for the quick payout. They didn't pick up these scrolls, these trinkets of the ancient lands. So in a very quick roundabout way, in this final battle, y'all make quick work of the High Elf's goons. There's about four of them. Everyone is able to slash through using their newfound key powers. And the last person that punches the High Elf wizard out the window, the High Elf wizard immediately grabs your wrist. So, DeVito, give me a dexterity save throw.
You're asking a tall order, Bear. It's always me. It's kind of do all the movement shit. It always... How did I know? How did I know? It's a one.
With a one, the High Elf wizard grabs your wrist and pulls you down onto the floor as he's hanging out of the window. So let's see, do another strength check real quick.
Oh, well, that shit's going to be easy. I got this. Or maybe not. I don't know. It's going to be a 17.
With a 17, that allows you enough time to brace and hold up both of y'all. Otherwise, you'd be falling straight to your death. And in slow motion, everyone sees the High Elf wizard slowly raise up this magic wand, which, Kronk, you immediately realize is fully loaded with a very high-powered fireball spell. And, Butch, make me a very quick dexterity save check.
Oh, dexterity. Hold on. Was I supposed to pass it or fail it?
You're supposed to pass it.
Damn it. Either 3 plus 1, so 4.
Can I get a bonus action?
Sure.
That would be a 19, but I was going to do a bonus action to cast Eldritch Blast at the mage before he can get it off, before he can shoot.
A spook try? Halfling nimbleness, maybe? No.
Go for
that
it.
That doesn't work.
Hurry. I'm decompressing.
Dirty 20.
Okay, with a dirty 20, you reach down past everybody. I don't even know how to describe it as a halfling surrounded by a bunch of like heavy dudes. You reach in there and you're able to use pressure points and you just unlock the grab that the High Elf wizard has on DeVito's wrist. And in slow motion, the wizard starts going down, 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 plummeting to his death. And somewhere in the vicinity of the militia, you hear somebody say, "Oh, geez, I hope that's not another hostage." And splat. So the High Elf hits the floor and he's scattered all over the place. In the last ditch effort, you see that Eldritch Blast just annihilate everything around him. just scorching whatever's left over. And congratulations, y'all survive a D&D Die Hard Christmas one-shot special.
Tominaka.
And the epilogue. As everyone is escorted out of the building, a bloodied high elf paladin is about to cast Divine Smite at third level on everybody when Baron Tagami's valet steps in and immediately casts Scorching Ray on the paladin, killing him instantly. The valet reveals that the Holiday Fest celebration was intended for the Baron to name the adventurers, all of you, Butch, DeVito, Kronk, and Spook, as his successors to the throne. This is verified by several prominent members of the realms, as well as the captain of the militia. You now own Tominaka Tower.
Yeah!
Congratulations.
That certainly turned out nice.
Are we going to do the sequel?
I don't know. We got to wait till next Christmas.
Yeah, that would be fun.
All right, guys. I just wanted to say Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, all that good stuff to everybody. And I figure this is a good way to send off for everything.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Merry Christmas. Most definitely. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas,
everyone. Merry Christmas, everyone. Happy Hanukkah.
God bless us, everyone.
Everyone.
No, I'm not used to it smiling at me.
All right.
There's Darby's tinkling of his.
All right, man, get out of here. Get some
sleep. Right. Have a good night, guys.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
All right. Until next time.
Yeah, I used to watch Saturday Night Live when I was in high school. That was back during, like, who was it? It was, like, Mike Myers and Dana Carvey and Chris Farley, Rob Schneider. Rob Schneider always had this bit, the Rich Meister. Rich, the Rich Meister. Richarino. Making copies.
I haven't heard that in a while.
Yeah. So I don't know if y'all figured out this Christmas story is all about, but
nope, no clue, none whatsoever.